Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I want this to be very, very, very certain when I say this. Please do not rush out of your homes. We're still under quarantine. Everybody's still on lockdown. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I'm not to the Clay Travis level yet. I don't believe this was a hoax. I think computer models sometimes don't measure out everything. You know, like, look, the big fear with coronavirus, and this is supposed to be the peak week, or next week is the peak week, whatever. The big fear was not just the deaths from the virus, but the fact that because they're in a short period of time, there are so many cases that need medical attention, that the hospitals would become overwhelmed and you couldn't treat enough people, right? That was the calculation based upon the occupancy level of hospital beds. And this, if we didn't go on lockdown, the overwhelming number of cases at the same time. It's not just the number of cases. People say all the time, well, it's like the flu. People get the flu. But the flu, there's not these spikes in it. It's not a new virus introduced to our population, per se, that is as deadly and spreads as rapidly. Like, this spreads really, really quickly, and it's a wide spectrum. So that was the fear. You know, I run a basketball program, and one of the parents of one of my kids is a good friend, and she's also an ER doc, and she's like, look, you can't have the practice, and it's not just because these kids probably won't get sick, won't suffer symptoms, but their grandparents do, they go to the hospital, we'll just be overwhelmed. The problem in some of the calculation appears to be not just that social distancing is working, but also that because we've been on lockdown, there's elective surgeries are not happening, and there's not as many DUIs, car accidents, etc. Right? There's some good to it, and the occupancy level of the hospitals is down, and the number of cases isn't as bad as they would have thought. But here's what's going to happen. So what I'm trying to tell you is, stay in your home. Stick up with us here at Fox Sports Radio. We'll give you all the sports that you need, all the interesting stuff, and we'll get around. I'll relate this to Brady and Belichick in a second. But it appears that if we keep doing this for, I don't know, another week, maybe 2 weeks, like, it's going to work. Now, here's what's going to happen. Both sides are going to declare victory, which is interesting because it relates to Brady and Belichick. Look, Brady and Belichick are the greatest tandem, quarterback and coach, in the history of football. 9 Super Bowls. And the crazy part is there was a 10-year run without a Super Bowl win. We forget Brady tore his ACL. They didn't win the year they were 18-0, losing the Super Bowl, 16-0 the regular season. Like, there's a stretch of actually their best team didn't win a Super Bowl, and that team came back the next year and Brady didn't play. But the point is, 9 Super Bowls will not be replicated, I do not believe. The likelihood is very, very, very slight. Even with Pat Mahomes, who probably should have gone to 1 2 years ago and did go to 1 and 1 this year. And he's in his early 20s. But I read yesterday Brady's Players Tribune piece. And Belichick's mentioned once. No new information in there. We know he's competitive. We know he's looking for something different. If he got along with his coach, if they were close, he wouldn't have left. Right? Like, there's no new information there. But my big takeaway is this is what happens when people win, is everybody wants credit. Right? The scientist that gave us that fear and pointed out that if we don't flatten the curve, this could be a problem for the entirety of the year and change life on Earth as we know it, they will declare victory. Because they'll say, hey, look, we did social distancing. We did social distancing. And, you know, look, if we didn't do it, the curve would have not been flattened and hundreds of thousands of people would have died. They will declare, but so too will the, this is a hoax, this is a, ride out the storm guy. We'll be like, look, you guys way massively overdid it. You killed the economy. You did it for political gain or whatever. They'll declare victory. Everyone's looking for their confirmation bias. I knew it. It was to bring down the president. I knew it. If we flattened the curve, we'd be okay. And maybe you're both right. Maybe you're both wrong. The truth is somewhere in the middle. And you know what? The only thing that matters is less people are dying and we'll be okay. And in all honesty, the takeaway is, hey, guess what? The air is clean again. The water's clean again. We can actually go on walks and talk to each other, have family dinners. Like, it ain't the worst thing in the world. Do I want an NCAA tournament? Yeah. Do I want the Masters? Sure. I want my life back a little bit. But if society improves because of it and we find out that for pandemics that come in the future, we can do this and still survive, it ain't the worst thing ever. Right? It ain't the worst thing ever. Brady and Belichick, your confirmation bias, like, whatever your confirmation bias is, you are nodding your head today. If you're a Belichick guy, you're sitting there going, see, Brady only mentioned Belichick once. He still doesn't respect what Bill did for him. You know, it's just another case of a guy wanting to go off on his own, and he doesn't appreciate or respect a coach who's old school, a coach who treats him like everybody else, a coach who's built a winner around him for 20 years. He doesn't. If you're a Belichick guy, you're like, see, Brady wants to do his own thing. You know, Brady's been part of the band. Now he wants to go solo. He wants a solo album. When the truth is, he's best when he's with the band. If you're a Brady guy, you're like, see, told you, Brady wanted to do his own thing. He's tired of the oppressive leadership of Belichick and the Patriot. He just wants to have fun. He wants a challenge. Brady wants credit. Belichick wants credit. That's what they do. That's human nature. Human nature. That's what we're learning from this coronavirus, which the pandemic, I think, is going to be thwarted. I mean, like, look, it's very, very sad. I'm not saying I'm not sympathetic to people who have lost their lives or their lives have been changed forever by it. I'm not. But in comparison to the models, which at one point in time showed us we might lose 1.5 million Americans if change isn't made, it feels like a hurricane that was coming, that was going to be really bad, that just swiped us and wasn't, we didn't get the full brunt of the blow, right? Right. Brady and Belichick, instead of celebrating, hey man, it was 18 great years, 19 great years, 20 great years. This incredible partnership that led to 9 Super Bowls and 6 Super Bowl wins and complete and utter domination, actual humiliation of the AFC East. There were some good football teams. There were some good coaches that fell by the wayside. And there were some bad ones. In the AFC East. Nobody cares about them because the Patriots kicked everybody's ass seemingly every year. But instead of celebrating that, we go to our corners, we pick our sides, and we chose who the winner is because somebody has to get credit. Brady is in search of credit and fun and attaboys, and his way does work. Belichick the same. No new information in Brady's piece. Yeah, got it. You're a successful guy. You're a competitive guy. You liked your time in Boston. Patriot fans are the best. These are the best times. You just want to try something new. Could have written it myself without even talking to Tom Brady. I'm not diminishing it, but none of this is new information and only feeds into our confirmation bias. Brady wanted to do his own thing, only feeds into the Belichick fans as well. See? Belichick was right. Brady's about Brady. Gonna do it. Wants to do it himself. Wants to prove his way works when he doesn't truly respect or honor or have the right feeling and give the right amount of credit to Bill Belichick. This is what people do. We do it during times of crisis with a pandemic. We do it during times of success. Everybody wants credit. Our president wants credit. The scientists are going to want credit. The naysayers will want credit instead of somebody stepping up and going like, hey, all of you, look, however we got to this place, It's not nearly, it doesn't appear to be nearly as bad as feared it could be. And the same goes for Belichick and Brady. Hey, you two, you guys do realize you had the greatest run in the history of modern sports. Nobody's done that. Like football, way more so than baseball or basketball, half the teams that make the playoffs don't make it the next year. Half the teams don't make the playoffs next year. Go back and look at what the Patriots were able to accomplish during Tom Brady's time as quarterback. And you'll notice something that happened almost every year. Every year, except for the one year he was hurt, they made the playoffs. Right? And there was one other year, I think 2002, they didn't make the playoffs. Won the Super Bowl, didn't make the playoffs, and then didn't make one year. You're talking about since 2001, essentially 20 years. They missed the playoffs together once. And instead of celebrating that as the most miraculous and incredible and ridiculous, like, look, since 2003, they've won double-digit games every year. And only once was it 10 games. Instead of mentioning that, it's the I want to do it my way. I want my own parade. I want my own thing. I want to be recognized as being the guy, which is no different than when we choose our sides, when ultimately we come out of coronavirus lockdown mode.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Mike Renner is a Pro Football Focus NFL draft expert. Check out PFF.com for the best analysis leading up to the NFL draft. Renner, I need personal opinion. This is not statistical data that you guys have been able to provide at Pro Football Focus. What do you think of the Buccaneers' newish uniforms?
I'm a fan. They're pretty slick. I thought their old ones were a little dull. They needed the change. And with Tom Brady there, you need something new, fresh to get the fans going.
What about? I mean, I'm surprised there wasn't pewter. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a pewter uniform. But what about? Is that what the dark gray one? Is that considered pewter?
I thought it was. Right? Or am I?
It feels darker. It feels darker. I guess now I'm looking at a different picture. I like the pewter. I don't know. Why not throw in a creamsicle?
That is the big question. Like that's the money. That's the one that everyone loves. So I'm surprised. Maybe they're saving that for like the Color Rush.
It's possible. Possible. Although Color Rush would probably. I think the pewter is the Color Rush because it's all gray. But anyway. Okay. Let me again before we get to the draft stuff. I think the big question with Brady is. Everybody thinks he can still throw a deep ball, but he's an underneath guy, right? Isn't he dink and dunk? Isn't he Wes Welker, Troy Brown, Julian Edelman? Like, isn't that the focus of how he likes to play? Like, these big play wide receivers, that's not generally how he plays football.
Yeah, so he's capable. He's just good enough at it to where he makes you respect that deep ball, makes you respect that intermediate, but to where you have to drop those linebackers in zone. You have to get that depth. You can't just sit on the underneath stuff like they do like an Alex Smith. So he is at least capable of that. But yes, like I said, over the course of his career, he has made his money off of hitting those underneath patterns accurately with timing so that it gives the guy the best opportunity for yards after the catch. And it will be different. And it's just because, you know, he has been good enough at the intermediate and deep level. It doesn't mean all of a sudden now they've thrown every single, you know, the majority of his passes there, which is Bruce Arians' offense, that it's going to work out. And I think that's the interesting thing in all of this, is it's going to be a massive, massive change from what we're used to with them, and no one knows what it's going to look like.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's get to the upcoming NFL draft. What do you guys at PFF think about Joe Burrow?
Fans. I mean, he just put up the highest graded season we've ever given to a quarterback. Now, we've only been doing it for 6 years, but it was far and away the most impressive quarterback season we've seen in the last 6 years. And yes, he's older, and yes, he had a lot of talent around him at LSU, but I'm of the opinion that the accuracy that he showed there, like, you NFL QBs couldn't go into that offense and do the same thing that he did. He was just so on another level accurate with the football on throws 10-plus yards downfield to track the ball placement of every throw. He was over 8% more accurate than any quarterback we've ever charted in our 6 years of doing this on throws 10-plus yards downfield. So just an absolute, you know, perfection in terms of the ball placement on some of these throws that I just have a – I would be difficult in my mind to see him busting, you know, completely not becoming a starter in 3 years down the road in the NFL. I think at least he's going to turn into an average NFL quarterback.
All right, if you take him off the board, who's next from your rankings?
I mean, it's Tua. If Tua's fully healthy, if that hip really isn't going to be a problem next year, he is, and you know, if Joe Burrow doesn't exist, he's the number one overall pick right now. That's how good of a quarterback he was at the college level. And the interesting thing was we saw Joe Burrow play, you know, rough up and down football in 2018. We never saw that from Tua. When he was on the field and healthy, he played elite level quarterback. Even going back to his freshman year, coming in the national championship game, leading them back against Georgia, like he always played well. And yes, he had a ton of talent around him, but again, you can judge the accuracy of the football. You can judge the decisions he was making, and they were for the most part right and accurate. So I do think that Tua should be the guy. If you're the Dolphins, if you're the Chargers, that's the guy you got to go up and get.
Okay, so after Tua, is there a massive drop, and who's third?
At the quarterback position or just overall here?
Quarterback.
Okay, yes, so there is a massive drop. And I do think, you know, that's why I said you got to go up and get Tua, because I really just don't want Justin Herbert or Jordan Love in the top five of this class. I mean, one, I can't see an NFL GM taking Jordan Love after he almost threw more interceptions than touchdowns in the top 10. Like, you get roasted by your fan base on draft day, and then 2 years down the line, if it doesn't work out, your job, like, that's it for you. Like, you can't make that play that high in the draft. So I do think Jordan Love will fall. But even Herbert, the problem with him is he's got a cannon for an arm, and he's fairly accurate. But why are we not talking about this guy who has a cannon for an arm is fairly accurate as the surefire top pick? It's because he has the exact same problems on tape we saw as a freshman that he now has as a senior. There's been really very little development. Every big game that he plays in, he disappears as a passer. And it's the between-the-ears stuff that you can't really coach up, that you just got to have, that is the biggest question mark with him. And I don't think there's a fixing that at the NFL level.
Yeah, it's a big question. Okay, so then there's Jordan Love, who had a disappointing year this year, but people want to say, okay, look at Mahomes, and he is the most like Mahomes. When you see Jordan Love, what do you see?
You do see that. I mean, you see plays on tape where he adjusts the way his arm angle to touch on the ball, to drop it in over a linebacker and underneath the safety, and you see him outside the pocket on the move, drop a dime, that just only a handful of quarterbacks, you know, even in the NFL can make. He has that sort of arm talent and playmaking ability, but just the consistency aspect is difficult for me to get over. And I'd probably, if I'm leaving the first round, I probably would rather come away with Jordan Love, because you could be getting an elite quarterback. Like, he could develop into that. He has more of those things than a Justin Herbert. But I think his floor is also bottom out, you know, throws more picks than touchdowns next year and just leads and can't lead an offense whatsoever to save his life, because, I mean, that's what we saw this past year at Utah State. When things go bad, it was like quicksand. And he had a lot of chances this year in the second half of games to come back, and he just tried to do way too much. And like I said, the consistency aspect, it's not just the bad decision, it's the footwork is inconsistent. You know, his pocket presence is inconsistent. And it led to just poor quarterback play this last season. So you're banking on a lot of things getting cleaned up very quickly. And at the highest level of football, I'm just not sure it's ever going to happen.
Mike Renner joining us, PFF.com. That's Pro Football Focus. They go through, they rank every guy in the upcoming NFL draft, which, look, it's going to be a virtual draft. It's not going to affect our world at all. It's going to be different, but going to be fun and interesting, as I think everybody will need it for something to do. You mentioned, when I said quarterback, when I said rankings, you said quarterback. That's because we didn't mention Chase Young. Obviously, different position. I can't compare a quarterback to a guy who's, you know, a defensive end, but I can't compare him to previous defensive ends like a Nick Bosa. How did Chase Young grade out in comparison to Nick Bosa?
Yeah, so he had the highest grade we've ever given to an edge defender. That's higher than,
that goes back to Myles Garrett, that goes back to Joey Bosa and Nick Bosa at the highest single season grade, and it really wasn't even close. Like, I've truly never seen anything like this. I've only been doing this for, graduated 2012 from college, but that last 8 years, he's better than Jadeveon Clowney, better than Myles Garrett, and he is as athletic as those guys as well. So I think we're really about to see something special at the NFL level. Like, Nick Bosa hit the ground running as well as any, defensive end in recent memory has hit it, and I think we're about to see Chase Young be even better this upcoming season. He is just a special, special type of edge defender prospect that, there's no such thing as can't miss in the NFL draft, but if healthy, he's can't miss.
All right, if you take away Chase Young and Joe Burrow, is Tua the next rated prospect, or is it Jerry Jeudy? Is it Derek Brown, Isaiah Simmons? Who's the next rated prospect?
I think it's Tua. It's Tua on our board just because of we factor in quarterback and the value of that to some degree. If you're not factoring that in, I think it's Jerry Jeudy. I think he's that special of a prospect. I mean, you watch the way this guy runs routes, and he looks like he's been in the NFL for a decade and has every trick in the book. He just really is special in that regard, and that's usually the thing that you're trying to, with these modern wide receivers who don't need to have that to win at the college level, that's usually the thing you're like, we'll teach him to run routes. He has the athleticism. Jeudy not only has the athleticism, he already has the routes down. So to me, he is the best wide receiver prospect we've seen probably since about Amari Cooper back in 2015, that was.
How big's the drop-off between Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb or Henry Ruggs? Like, who's the next? Why? I'm not saying that you're wrong about Jeudy. I'm just wondering how big a drop-off statistically is there between Jeudy and others?
I think there's a little bit of a drop-off, but I don't think it's that big. Like, that's why people are saying this is a special wide receiver class. You've heard it. I'm sure everyone has by now. But it's because CeeDee Lamb does a lot of those things well. Like, he's just not as dynamic an athlete as Jeudy, but is already a really polished route runner, is probably a little more physical and a little better in contested catch situations. And then Henry Ruggs is the type of athlete, we really haven't seen coming into the NFL in quite a while. Like, John Ross was fast, but he wasn't the guy who could win jump balls. Like, Henry Ruggs runs a 4.27 that has a 42-inch vertical, and they're throwing him, fades in the red zone, and he's going up over DBs and getting it. So this really is, at the top of this wide receiver class, pretty special. Like, they're going to pass on some of these guys because it goes deep and you can get one in the second round, but I feel good about those three guys at the top being something special at the NFL level.
All right, it's also a really good offensive tackle draft. Andrew Thomas, we had on from Georgia, solid four-year starter, right? Started since the day he walked in. Jedrick Willis, we had on Kirk Ferentz, and he couldn't have more praise for Tristan Wirfs, not just in how good he is as a right tackle, his ability he thinks to move to left, and that he still has potential for improvement because he's only a third-year player. And there's Mekhi Becton, who's just a physical freak at Louisville. Give me your grades on the tackles and the difference between those guys.
Yeah, so I said the wide receiver class is special. I think this tackle class is right up there with that wide receiver class because not only are these guys really good and really physically appealing, they're all young. Like, these guys are all true juniors coming out, third-year players. And you go back to, Quentin Nelson coming out of Notre Dame was a senior. Like, these guys who are usually at the top of the draft are not usually coming out young because offensive line is such a skill position that needs to be developed. And so to have four guys at the top, all true juniors, all playing as well as these guys have, is pretty rare. Becton is the one kind of wild card of the group. Like, we've seen elite-level football from Andrew Thomas, Georgia. We've seen it from Worth already in our grading. And we've seen it from Wills. But Becton, he's been really up and down. But, man, you cannot teach a 6'7", 370-pounder to move the way he does. Like, you fall in love with, you just get, flashbacks of Orlando Pace, Bryant McKinney with this guy and what he could become. And now he, at Louisville, switched sides based on the formation as his freshman and sophomore year. So he was at left tackle one play and then right tackle the next play. And really, that's impossible to have to do. It really screwed up his development. Finally, this past year, got to play left tackle only. Had it by far his best season, but still really a work in progress in terms of his pass protection. So I would lean those other three guys before I take Becton. But, those physical tools only come around once every decade or so.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Mike Renner is our guest. Pro football folks, go to PFF.com for the best analysis leading up to the NFL draft. Is there a name of a skill position guy which America doesn't know. You guys at PFF know, love, and we're going to hear it called the first night, and you're going to go, you know what, that guy's going to be a baller.
Oof, that's a good question. Skill position guy. So I don't think any running backs end up going in the first round. I think the one guy who really isn't, I don't know if America doesn't know him, but his production is not great. But advanced stats say that he probably, you know, should be a first rounder is TCU's Jalen Reagor. Like, he only had something like 600 yards this past season, but he had the third highest rate of off target throws of any wide receiver in the country. Like, his TCU's quarterback situation was a disaster. And he was in the bottom 10 even the year prior to that as a sophomore, but still went over 1,000 yards. This guy, he jumped over 11 foot in the broad jump at the combine, over a 40 inch vertical. His explosiveness personified at like 5'11", 205. Could probably play running back if you really wanted him to at that size. But he gets open deep. And so I think he's pretty much a lock at this point to go in the first round with that explosiveness and with that deep speed.
Yeah, no concerns over how heavy he was and that the 40 time wasn't great?
Yeah, so the 40 time was a little disappointing, but I think, who is it said, you know, Daniel Jeremiah had it on from his trainer that he was running 4.3s all in the lead up. And you watch him on tape, and he gets open. Like, he is running past guys, fast cornerbacks there in the Big 12. He is separating down the football field. So no real concerns with that slow time for me. Not slowish. I mean, 4.47, relatively slow to what we expected.
Right, relatively slow for burners. Mike Renner, at PFF underscore Mike, or you can go to PFF.com for the best analysis leading up to the NFL draft. Mike, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
For sure, Doug. Thanks for having me on.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
I saw this all-decade team, and Aaron Rodgers is the other quarterback with Tom Brady. They did 53 selections. They've done first team and second team. This year, they just did 53 selections. Remember, that means no Drew Brees. That means no Eli Manning. That means no Big Ben, right? Of the quarterbacks of that era, those are the ones that was chosen. And I don't know if we'll see much pushback on it, right? Because if you look back at 2010 to 2020, who else is there? Like, Mahomes is only the last 2 years. Drew Brees broke records, won a Super Bowl, went to another Super Bowl. But there, it's, you know, here's what I feel about Aaron Rodgers. I think we're going to look back. We're going to look back. And what you say by putting Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers both on that team is you're saying what I've always said, which is Brady is the most accomplished. Rodgers is the most talented. And I know Rodgers has won a Super Bowl. I get it. Could have won the MVP a couple years ago when they lost to the Falcons in the playoffs. I know he's won a Super Bowl, but it almost feels like he's working the way of a Dan Marino. You know, because if I mentioned Dan Marino to anybody else who wasn't alive during the, like, if I mentioned it to Ryan Music, did you ever see Dan Marino play when Dan Marino was playing?
I don't believe so, no. And if I did, I don't have any lasting memory of it.
Okay. So when I say Dan Marino, what do you think?
Ace Ventura, or just, you know, what people say about how good he was back in the day.
In what way?
I mean, I just remember how everyone mentions that he was the type of player who, I don't know if it was like 4,000 yards or 5,000 yards, how he was putting up passing numbers way before we ever saw the explosion of, you know, passing offenses in the past decade or so.
Right. They were a little bit ahead of it. I mean, you know, I'd say Dan Fouts was even more ahead of it, right, with Air Coryell, but teaming with Shula and getting Don Shula, who was an old school coach, to buy into, you know, going four wide. Yeah. I mean, and then after him, Jim Kelly up in Buffalo. Right. And Jim Kelly appeared in four Super Bowls, didn't win any. Dan Marino only appeared in one, didn't win it. Of course, it was to Joe Montana. And I do feel, I feel like Marino doesn't hold any records. Like, those records are now held by, and this is interesting that in the 2000s, we didn't mention Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning, before his last year, if you go back, and even when he won, there were a lot of people that said Peyton Manning was the greatest quarterback of all time. And the pushback was always, what did he do in the playoffs? 500 quarterback in the playoffs. And even when he won his second Super Bowl, it wasn't because of him. Aaron Rodgers is going to be remembered as of now, unless there can be one more surge and one more Super Bowl and one more Super Bowl win. Like, he doesn't even have the two Super Bowls that Eli has, that Big Ben has, that Elway has, that Breeze has, like two Super Bowl appearances. And I'm not putting the blame on Aaron Rodgers. He's been big in big spots. He's a great quarterback. He is the best overall thrower of the football. You check all the boxes. He checks every box I've ever seen. But he's going to be a guy you're going to have to go back and tell your kids, no, listen, I know Breeze holds this record. I know Brady won this many Super Bowls. I know that Peyton's still on commercials and he's seen as the smartest quarterback. I know Big Ben won two and Eli won two, but you got to just trust me. Aaron Rodgers is as good or better than any of them. He's going to be the you got to trust me guy. And I think it's fascinating that whoever these voters were respected him enough, and it's voted on by Pro Football Hall of Fame voters. So, like, dudes that know, these are former Hall of Famers and the Hall of Fame voters that follow football, they all know he's the most talented. They all know it. And I would guess that part of the reason Aaron Rodgers is the way he is perceived, because I don't think I know Aaron Rodgers a little bit, and there's always a little bit of truth to some of the rumors, you know, like, is he tough to deal with? Yeah, but if you were with the Green Bay Packers and people widely regard you as the best at your craft for over a decade and you'd only been to one Super Bowl, like, you'd kind of be ticked off to begin with. Then you factor in that he's always carried a chip on his shoulder for where he was drafted, for how he sat behind Brett Favre, for how Brett Favre did not mentor him during his time, for the big shoes that he had to fill, like all those, that would make you kind of salty too. Then you factor in the fact that he's a really opinionated guy, very bright guy, and can rub people as opinionated the wrong way. I think it's fascinating. Like, will he end up as the, I know he's won a Super Bowl. I know. So you could go, you know, Matt Ryan, or you could go to somebody else who, Philip Rivers, who never appeared in a Super Bowl. But Aaron Rodgers is widely considered as, if not the best, the second best quarterback in the NFL. So much so, over the last decade, he was voted in the all-decade team. Yet, without the volume of quality wins in the playoffs, I feel like he's going to be remembered like a Marino. Which is not a bad thing, but it is definitely a unique and different thing and not always a successful thing.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
James Jones joins us. James, are you a beer guy?
I'm not a big beer guy. I can't say I'm a big beer guy.
I know, but we're all quarantined. I didn't know if that changed during quarantine.
I'm more of a wine guy. I'm more wine.
Oh, listen, you and music can talk. Red wine, white wine.
I'm a red winer.
If you're going to, like, generally, you don't have to give me the make and the model, but like Merlot, Cab, like what are we drinking?
I'm a Cab guy.
How did you get into wine?
You know, man, it's crazy. When I was in Green Bay, obviously, you know, Charles Woodson was coming from the Raiders, big wine guy. So, you know, whenever we used to go out, he always had these bottles of wine and all that type of stuff. And he started pouring me glasses. And I'm like, oh, shoot, man, I don't need no beers or no hard liquor around here. Man, I'm going to sip on this wine, man. And I just been on wine, man, ever since my rookie year in Green Bay, man. So shout out to Charles Woodson.
All right, he's also got you in the wallet because red wine, a good red wine, is not exactly cheap. James Jones joined us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. How is your quarantine treating you? Like, are you at the home front? Where are you doing this thing?
Man, I'm at home, man. I'm in Arizona right now, man. I'm at home. I'm just chilling, man, like everybody else, man. I try to go outside in the backyard and all that with the kids and all that and run them around, man, burn some energy, man. I think that's the hardest thing through this whole thing, man. Kids can't sit still. Kids is all over the place. So it's trying to find something for them to do, occupy their time. So we've been making it, man. Hopefully everybody else is out there making it, man, staying safe, man. But just been trying to stay moving, man. But, you know, try to keep it in the house.
How different and how difficult do you think this NFL draft is going to be? The NFL draft is going to be?
Oh, man, I think it's going to be very difficult, man, because you better believe it's going to be some people who didn't get their picks in and, you know, technology goes down and internet goes down and things like that. So it's going to be different for everybody, man. Hopefully each person has one of their scouts or one of their, you know, best friends right next to Roger Goodell. So if anything goes down, they can call him and let him know this is the guy we're taking. But man, this is just a difficult time, man. I was talking to some of my friends about this the other day, man. It just sucks for a lot of the young guys that, you know, are not the Joe Burrows and are not the Tuas, man, that, you know, they depend on their pro days. They depend on that stuff to show themselves and get drafted, man. They haven't been able to work out for teams or do anything like that, and now the draft is going this way, man. So I just feel for those guys, man, that, you know, haven't been really able to show themselves.
All right, I want to get some NFL draft stuff in a second, but first I want to ask you, the All-Decade team came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Pro Football Hall of Fame voters voted on it. The quarterbacks, I think a lot of people perked up their ears. Aaron Rodgers, of course, you played with, and Tom Brady. They did choose two. They didn't choose one. Do you agree with that over the last decade, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, the two best quarterbacks in the NFL?
Hands down, and to me, it's not even close, man. When you talk about how dominant those two been, man, over this span, man, it's been unmatched. I mean, and you can put up other people's stats, and it might be close, but when you talk about guys and what they mean to their team and how dominant they were, man, to me, it's not even close, man. You're talking about guys that won multiple MVPs in this decade, man. They were dominant at their position, well deserved.
There are Rodgers is going to be interesting how he goes down historically if they don't get to another Super Bowl. Like, you and I are in agreement, and obviously you played with him, you know the sport, having played it and analyzed it as well. I'm wondering the next generation, if he doesn't get to another Super Bowl, does he become maybe Marino-esque, you know, and compare, like, Drew's been to two, Peyton won two, you know, went to three, obviously. Brady's been to nine. You know, even Eli and Ben have won two. How important do you think for his legacy another Super Bowl will be?
To be honest with you, I really don't think it'll mean anything. I mean, it'll mean something to him because he wants to win a Super Bowl. But when you talk about the things that he's done in this league this far and all the things he's accomplished, I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, and I think it's crazy when people talk about Aaron Rodgers because they've seen how special he is. And they've seen the things that he has done, and he's graded different. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of guys that got one Super Bowl that were easily, hands down, first ballot Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? But since it's Aaron Rodgers and we've seen him be so special on the football field, you know, he's kind of graded a little different, which is, you know, which is unfair. But he understands, hey, this is the boat that he put himself in, you know, because the way he's played on the football field. But I don't think he has to do anything else, man, to be honest with you, man. What I've seen from Aaron Rodgers, and it should be for everybody, what we've seen him do on that football field, we all know that he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, period.
Tom Brady's in Tampa. Tom Brady's got great weaponry around him, but it's not the usual weaponry, like, right? Troy Brown, Rashay Caldwell, Julian Edelman, Wes Welker. He always has one of those underneath guys in the slot, option routes, third down, or a running back out of the backfield that can catch it. How tough do you think it's going to be for him to assimilate to? Even if they have better talent, it's not maybe the fit isn't as good or normal for him. How difficult a transition do you think that'll be?
You know, this is going to be interesting to watch Tom this year because a lot of people don't understand how big of an arm you have to have in Bruce Arians' offense. Bruce Arians don't really have a lot of 5-yard routes in his offense. These are 15, 20-yard routes down the field. I mean, you've seen Jameis play. You've seen Carson Palmer play in his offense. These are big-time routes down the field. So I'm wondering if Tom still has the arm strength to get this done on a consistent basis. You know, he's so used to working Julian Edelman and working, you know, Wes Welker in the slots, you know, and things like that. And yeah, when he had Randy, he took shots down the field, but that was kind of a younger Tom. It's going to be interesting to see if his arm is going to hold up to be able to make these big-time throws in this offense that go down that field, you know, 20, 30 yards, you know, on a consistent basis. So it'll be interesting, man. But, yes, you spoke on the weapons. I mean, you got Godwin, you got Evans, I mean, you got Howard, You know, you have a bunch of guys out there that can make plays, you know, for Tom Brady. So, you know, the star power is not the problem, but is he going to be able to make these throws consistently?
Can you explain the DeAndre Hopkins trade to me?
You know what, man? Everybody has been calling me crazy because I said I love it. I'm a big Hop fan, man. I feel like DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best in the business right now, as we all think he is. But I feel like DJ, man, David Johnson, when he's healthy, playing at a high level, is one of the best dual threat backs we got in this game, too, running and catching it. So I don't know why, but something is telling me that him and Deshaun Watson are going to be dominant if he can stay healthy, you know, with DJ coming out the backfield. And then on the other side, you get Kyler Murray, another star power, to go with Larry Fitzgerald, to go with Christian Kirk, to go with Keyshawn Johnson, you know, to go with my man in the backfield, coming out the backfield. So, you know, it's a win-win for both teams, in my humble opinion. I know people may look like, oh, David Johnson washed up, he's been hurt, and, you know, Hopkins been balling. But if you get a healthy DJ, man, this trade could look a lot better than a lot of people think.
I agree with you. Like, people forget 3 years ago he was a dynamic, dominant threat. And when he got hurt 2 years ago, it was the hand. It wasn't like it was a knee or a back, right? It wasn't something that's a debilitating. And he just didn't fit necessarily with what Arizona was doing with their new offense. But he does make a lot of money, and they didn't get a first-round pick. And I think, you know, people agree with you on DeAndre Hopkins on just how good he can be. Will Stephon Diggs be happier with Josh Allen, who he'll be the guy, but Josh Allen wildly inaccurate in comparison to Kirk Cousins?
Oh, man. That's a good question. You know, this one we're going to have to wait and see, man, for me to play out. But what I do think is he'll get a lot more opportunity. Because I definitely know that Josh Allen will take a lot more chances down the field than Kirk Cousins will. And I think that's all Stephon Diggs is asking for. Just give me the opportunities to make plays. You know, I ain't always got to be wide open. It's okay if it's a guy right there. Give me an opportunity to be special. And Josh Allen will give him all the opportunities, especially shots down the field. He has a huge arm. So he'll have them opportunities to make the plays and to be able to show the world what he can do.
James Jones joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. There is a ton of talent in this draft from the wide receiver position. You know, you were only a third rounder, obviously, and had an unbelievable career. If you were going to tell one of these wide receivers, like, look, I get that you're drafting your first round pick, but here's how you make it and stick and have a 10-year career in the league, what's the secret?
Route running. Route running. I tell all the young fellas all the time, man, when you get in the National Football League, everybody's fast, everybody's smart, everybody's tough, you know, everybody's super athletic, you know. So your speed is only going to last you for so long. You have to be able to run these routes and to be able to be a crafty route runner if you want to stay in the league for a long time. You watch Larry Fitzgerald. He's not blowing the doors off of anybody. Very crafty, very route runner. So it doesn't matter if you come out there and you're Patrick Peterson and you run 4.3. I'm a crafty route runner. I know how to get open. You watch Jason Witten. He's not out running nobody. He come off the TV and he knows how to run routes, create separation at the top of the line. It's route running in the National Football League if you want to play for a long time. So young fellas, perfect your craft route running if you want to last in the league for a long time and make a lot of money.
89 Jones, NTAF, that's James Jones, Super Bowl champion, NFL Network analyst, and currently a kid wrangler in his backyard in the Phoenix area. That will get you in better shape than anything else. James, so happy that you're healthy and having a good time with your family. Appreciate you joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, man.